Good morning, everybody. Whoa, what was that in my throat? Is that a frog or what? I am here on Thursday morning. What is today? July 25th. This is our seventh show, Common Ground. We are just rocking it in North Texas. I have to say that our listening audience, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. It's incredible how many live views and how many listeners on podcasts we're growing. And that's exactly why we did this show. The Common Ground Show is to bring people together, even if they have opposing views, so we can discuss the issues that everybody really wants to talk about. Because we always hear these issues and they're always slanted in the media or wherever. This one has their opinion and yeah, that's it. There's no other option. And this one says, no, it's this way. And that's what made this country great, debate and compromise. That's what we're trying to do on the show, is hopefully reach some common ground. We did add our new bell. You can hear it.
Yeah.
So if there is some common ground, instead of saying, you know, common ground, we're going to have that bell. And hopefully that our guest today can ring that bell a couple of times. But thank you so much for joining us. My co-host is here, Sherry Salas, contributor Marian Noskins in the house. And we have two amazing guests we're going to introduce in a second. I just do want to do a little editorial note, Sherry.
I'm listening.
So people on social media, you see that we're requesting guests all the time for upcoming shows, and we appreciate your input. We've been getting some really good guests. But we find that it's kind of concerning to us because we're reaching out to elected officials.
Yes,
we are. To come on to the show. I mean, these are people that represented when they were running for election that they were going to be open with their views, which is great. That's what we want.
Right.
So we can decide, right? We
be a voice.
We discuss, you know, they discuss, and we decide if we want to elect them. And then they get into office and we ask them to come on the show and they're like, oh, I don't want to lose any votes.
Oh, my goodness. It's been frustrating.
So please, elected politicians who are so transparent when you ran for the office, now that you're in office, you still should hold your convictions.
And the ones that are so passionate about protecting what they're saying and doing. So,
right.
Hey, we're right here.
So legislators, and you know who you are. We're not going to call you out on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some interesting topics that we want you to chime in. Now, we are talking to one major legislator. His name will remain silent at this point. But thank you, sir, for coming on in August. And we'll release that then. But where are we today? Well, we're going to talk about fluoride, which has actually come back in the news recently. I started to read and educate myself on fluoride. And we have two great guests here today. We have Dr. Amal from Texas A&M School of Public Health. And if I mess up on anything, you could tell me. You could always contradict
School
me.
School of Dentistry.
Sorry, yes. School of Dentistry. Please, Dr. Amal, if I say anything incorrect, you just pop right in.
You're
there.
Always correct.
Well, no, I'm not always correct. But common ground.
You're so sweet.
But and she's going to, the doctor's going to point out the benefits of fluoride and water, and of course, from the ADA perspective. And to my right is our other guest, Regina Imburgia. Is that correct?
That's good. That's good.
Very good. And Regina's going to talk about why fluoride is not good for us. So we're going to start off the show with Dr. Amal. If you could just give us a brief introduction of who you are and your position on the issue.
I'm Dr. Amal Nuruldeen. I'm a clinical associate professor at Texas A&M College of Dentistry, Department of Public Health Sciences. And here
there
we go, the public health. I'm the cardiology director, and it means that I'm actually teaching the decay science.
Is that a new science, or is that, because I never heard of cardiology?
Yes, it is relatively, we can say, new. So when I graduated back in 95, actually we didn't have this science. And this science revolved and became innovative and in place, we can say, because of fluoride.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a
yes.
big push on the fluoride right out of the gate.
Right. She jumped right in there.
All
right.
Boom.
My master's and PhD were in restorative dentistry, where we used to drill and fill teeth and be happy taking people's money and stuff
and we'll
like
that. We'll talk about mercury in another
show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So with the new inventions and tools, technology, and the material, and also scientists digging into the the benefits of fluoride and how we can use it and how we can change the game with it, we found the Curiology science standing there, and we teach it to the students now to become dentists who are really aware of the benefits of fluoride.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about what those benefits are. And Regina, can you give us a quick response, or not a response, but a little background on you and your position?
Well, I'm a mother and a grandmother, a concerned citizen here that just got involved to speak out because in 1999, you would know that the CDC came up with that it's a topical application of fluoride that is really the more beneficial mechanism for using fluoride. So I am wholeheartedly against drinking fluoride. You know, we shouldn't be putting a poison in the water.
Well, let's discuss if that's a poison. We'll get into that. But that's okay. Your position. Go ahead.
Okay. Because this hydrofluorosilicic acid, the city buys it. I have documentation that it's contaminated. Mm-hmm. It's contaminated with arsenic. These are the paperwork that the city gets every time it's delivered. And any doctor would say that arsenic, mercury, lead, it has a zero amount is supposed to be in our body. So why would we be actually putting this in our water?
And that's a great part.
Common ground, good music.
Let's start based on that. So doctor, so fluoride, from the background that I understand, there's two types of fluoride. And correct me again, you're the doctor. I'm just this radio guy. But so there's fluoride that's a mineral fluoride that's natural. And then there's fluoride that comes. Thank you. And then there's a fluoride that I guess is manufactured through the process initially to the fertilizer industry, I gathered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
And is that considered a toxic that we're putting in the water? I mean, Regina points out that, you know, we're putting this, adding this fluoride, say the man-made fluoride, into the water. And what are those effects to us if it is a toxin?
Well, fluoride is a natural element, and whatever that comes to us in the food and the drinks, as well as the topical agents that we are using through the dental products, are totally safe. And it's not going to be considered like a chemical that is going to poison our body. Or I'm trying to simplify it here because so many chemistry into it so many complications into it. Yeah.
So the fluoride that's being purchased, that's being put into our water, is that even a product of the U.S.? And where is it coming from? And like Regina said, there's been testing on it and it's showing arsenic and lead and different levels like that. Do they test it before they put it in the water every single time? Or do we find a manufacturer that we feel comfortable with and then we purchase it and then we just put it in? Like, because I from what I understand, there was a new report that just came out where the government said that they made a mistake and they were overdosing the population.
Well, let's get to
many years.
Go ahead, doctor.
So, okay, that's a different topic.
So,
I know,
as long as these chemicals pass, as long as these chemicals pass the NSF standard 65 water quality test, they are pure enough for drinking water. So, when they pass these standards, we have no saying here. So,
well, let's just get back to what she said, whereas fluoride is in many products now. I mean, canned meats have fluoride in it because sometimes bones are in there. It's a pesticide that used especially a lot of times on grapes, and then the grapes are made into grape juice. So actually, in 2015, I believe, or 2015, they lowered the recommended level. It used
Correct.
To be a range, 0.7 parts per million to 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Being the difference in the amount was if you're in a warmer climate or a cooler climate, because they assume you drink more water. Mm-hmm. This way of figuring out how much people are getting in their bodies is unbelievably loose and not very scientific,
mm-hmm.
because a construction worker might be drinking 2 gallons of water a day, mm-hmm. and someone else might only be drinking a glass, mm-hmm. okay? But they're talking about how much is in the water and how much is allowed to be in the water as a percentage, parts per million. So in Dallas, in other words, it's 0.7 parts per million. Mm-hmm. But throughout the day, no one knows really, because they don't track it, how much the body is actually getting.
But
you know,
I have a question. Sure. Aren't those things in a lot of other things that we naturally consume? Am I wrong?
Correct. Like yeah, it is.
Right.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about the arsenic and...
Well, that's what I wanted to say, because, from the information I read, Doctor, that fluoride is actually considered by the FDA as a drug. Mm-hmm. It was listed, at least that's what I read. And if we're putting this in the water, from what I understand, they put it in Xanax as a way to relax people. So is fluoride... Really, I know the benefits from what your perspective is for cavities, but aren't there, you know, alternative, you know, reactions to the fluoride that might not be so good for us?
Okay, so we are not going to consider the fluoride here as a drug. This is why the FDA is not the organization in charge to regulate the amount of fluoride in the water.
Right,
they're separated. It's the environmental... protection
EPA.
Agency,
the EPA,
EPA
right.
is the one controlling and handling all those standards. They have a primary rule that has to, it is an enforceable rule of having the contaminant level, the maximum MCL, the maximum contaminant level, which is 4 milligrams per liter, for the fluoride to be there in the drinking water. Then the non-reinforceable rule after that, in the drinking water, it has to be the optimal amount, which is the beneficial amount, to be 2 particles per million. And then it's left to all the cities, all the states, and to control this and to have a saying and whatever,
regulate.
To use it or not to use it. Yes. So when there was a petition, and when there was like a saying that this shouldn't be done by the fan movement, actually the EPA looked at it again and revised, and again they insisted in all of these rules to follow, and because whatever has been mentioned there was not based on a scientific.
Oh, right. Actually, so, was based yes.
Wait,
on scientific.
Let me
go ahead, yeah. Regina. Let's
yeah.
hear response.
Because
to that.
For one thing, we even talk about mm-hmm. how much they put in the water. This is Dallas. Mm-hmm. They exceeded the amount that. This,
what are you showing us here?
This is actually the different. There's 3 treatment plants where the fluoride is added to the water.
Okay? Here in Dallas?
In yes.
Okay.
I did everything in Dallas.
Okay.
So
okay.
They're not supposed to.
Because we are a national show.
Yeah, I know.
That's true.
That's
but
why
Dallas
don't,
is a
don't
big
have
city.
New York here.
Big city. Big city. Okay, it's the one I can speak about. Okay. So they're not supposed to exceed that 0.7 parts per million.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just one page alone. And it was 185 times in this 1 year that their plant exceeded the level. So mm-hmm. on those days, the people were getting too much just mm-hmm. from the water.
But okay. Let me ask some, Regina. So
sure.
With the advent of fluoride, didn't we see a reduction in cavities?
No. Listen to me. This is, the 97% of Europe does not fluoridate. Okay.
Really?
Yes. 97% of Europe does not fluoridate. Yeah.
Because their water
yeah,
is already.
I was going to say.
We already
fluoridate.
No, that's not necessarily true. Let's just go with this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The tooth decay decline that happened mm-hmm. is consistent with the non-fluoridated areas and the fluoridated areas. Okay.
This is not in the scientific literature.
Yeah. Do we have a report on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get you my report. It's,
okay.
from,
right, yes.
it's from the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People like to know where to find it. If you can look it up in the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. the decline in tooth decay, when it started, where the pro-fluoride people associate it with the addition of fluoride mm-hmm. to the water, and then it compares it to places that doesn't even have it in the water, mm-hmm. which we do have a natural amount, which by from the beginning here, I want to say, we are not talking about taking fluoride out of the water. We're just talking about don't put more
the
in the water, you know,
right.
especially since it is not pharmaceutical. It is a byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry. And even though they have contaminant levels mm-hmm. that are supposed to be met, it's not always met.
Mm-hmm.
And who needs any arsenic, lead, barium, you know, all these things that are in the water? We don't need that. Mm-hmm. So get it topically.
Can I ask a question for an audience member? That for somebody that just didn't really understand this topic literally until recently. Earlier when you were talking about the EPA and what they were saying, are you saying the EPA does not recognize it as a drug as does the FDA? Because that's what I was trying to ask earlier is like, I know the FDA does say that, but, you know.
Well, it's in drugs.
Right. No, and I get that. But there's a lot of things. Steve, there's
a line of fluoroquinolones, the antibiotics that do have fluoride in them.
But
like Levaquin and, right, there are several.
But, you know,
our drugs have a lot of different items. So, and that's what I wanted to ask
Dr.
Amal.
Dr. Amal's talking about water, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, but the toothpaste, Dr. Amal, that is part of the FDA, so it kind of does cross over.
Yes, and it is regulated. It is the amount in there is non-toxic, and it has been tested, and whatever that reaches the consumer is within the safety levels.
Let's talk about some of those concerns that people did have. And what I read and found out is fluorosis, right?
Yes.
This is a possible detriment of fluoride. And then bottle-fed infants at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also read, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, that fluorosis is irreversible. So how do we control, you know, a mother with a newborn bottle feeding their child with water, tap water, and the concerns, I think one of the concerns that Regina brought up is how do we control the percentage? Because it depends on, from what I read, and body weight and all these different factors come into place with the amount of fluoride that you can consume.
Right. So the infants, we have now, let me start with this. For the effect of fluoride to happen, there is a systemic effect and there is a topical effect. So the systemic effect, while the teeth are forming and not yet into the oral cavity, the amount of fluoride being ingested will affect the teeth. If there is an excessive amount of fluoride, fluorosis will happen. So the teeth will erupt with the pitting in it. And this is what is fluorosis. How we control this, parents have to work with their dentist or pediatrician who has really very clear guidelines of what to take, what not to take, the formulas, the water being ingested, even the juices, everything has to be in place. Even the fluoride tablets, because we want the teeth to erupt strong into the oral cavity, into the mouth. But when we apply later on a topical fluoride from a toothpaste, from a varnish, from the water, or whatever, this is the part that actually also resists decay. That's the part that we need even for adults to apply these products to resist decay. And since 1940, the story of fluoride was there. So scientist and the dentist, Kay, he found a relation between fluoride and this staining.
Fluorosis.
Yeah. He didn't know it's called fluorosis at the beginning. He's so staining.
It's just
in
an
Colorado.
Ugly yellow stain on
Colorado
our pretty white
people,
teeth.
And he even called J.V. Black, the very most important icon in dentistry, to show him what's this. And they were able to find this correlation, cause and effect, between the fluorosis and this amount of water, fluoridated water. Later on, they found a relation between the people who has fluoroses that they have actually less decay happening. And the story of fluoride goes on with less amount of decay, evidence-based approaches, critically appraised research, randomized clinical trials that shows that less decay is happening. And actually, all the other articles that has been mentioned by all the movements that
okay, Wait, okay. Regina.
Yes. Fluorination isn't always a causation. I might. Fluorosis, the only cause, you said it could be. Fluorosis is only caused by fluoride. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it. And also, fluorosis is an outward sign of what's happening inside your body. Mm-hmm. Because fluoride is absorbed in your bones and other places. Correct. And only 50% leaves your body. So when these children at age 12, they're showing signs of this fluorosis, mm-hmm. they already have problems in their body, mm-hmm. which can lead to serious problems. Mm-hmm. In other countries where they don't put fluoride in the water, they're trying to get it out, like in Iran and in China. It's naturally a problem. And their backs are all twisted and they have a lot of serious problems. Mm-hmm. And they think it's totally insane that we are adding fluoride to the water for teeth. And really, doctor, teeth as compared to other parts of your body, your thyroid, the other things that this fluoride affects. I mean, you can have the strongest, hardest teeth, but if people don't brush their teeth, mm-hmm. could you as a dental person say that if someone never took care of hygiene or diet, just because they had fluoride, their teeth are going to be strong and not have a decay? Could you say that?
The thing is, I need to see studies.
Mm-hmm,
I need to see critically appraised work that I can judge.
Would you be willing to see them with an open mind?
Yes.
Because a lot of the studies that are done by pro-fluoride people. And a lot of them that have been done by people outside of the country. It's like, well, that was done in China. Well, mm-hmm. that was done over here.
Right. Where they have an excessive amount of fluoride. Okay.
Has the U.S. done testing?
Yes.
Extensive research.
There was a big one that was done. It came out in 2017. Harvard and actually the U.S. This is the first one. This is the first one after 12 years that was done. Right. So they're not jumping. Our country is not jumping to do these studies, which they should. Mm-hmm. And they're coming out more.
And we're talking about the fluoride in the water, right, guys? Because I'm a mom to tea.
But listen, darling. No, listen. Any fluoride's going to accumulate.
Well,
so you're right. Tea has fluoride.
Now, I'm talking about sealants on teeth. How do you feel about sealants?
Well, I don't believe in the varnishes either because it's absorbed during your skin while they're putting it on your teeth.
Okay.
So,
let me tell you about the
sealants. That's topical. That's
plastic,
topical.
Some of them has fluoride. Some of them doesn't have fluoride.
Okay.
And it leaches the minimal safest amount of fluoride if it does.
Right. Because you're
to the teeth, and it prevents decay with evidence approach. And the Harvard study actually was a weak study, and I do have all the analysis.
That was spring of 2016.
Yes, September. Yes. Yep. And we do have like answers for each of the studies that has been done and how it was based on.
Well, let's get, and again, I'm not saying I'm for or against fluoride, but let's get to some of the facts that's out there in real world. We have these studies, but we do have, I just read the city of Calgary in Canada. Mm-hmm. They eliminated fluoride. And then there was a recent push to put it back in, and then they voted not to put it in. And I'm just going to leave that right there because we're going to take a hard break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the city of Calgary, and I believe in Texas, College Station eliminated fluoride as well. So we're going to talk about those hard facts that, okay, we have studies, but now we have actual cities, one in the U.S. and one in Canada. I think there's probably more. And let's talk about that. So based on that, you guys take a breath.
Do we have to be quiet?
No, you could talk, but then our listeners won't hear the commercial.
I was going to say, you got to
be quiet.
We will be on the air.
We will be quiet. Okay.
So that segment, a very good segment, by the way, and we're getting some really good information from the doctor and from Regina about fluoride.
Lots
I hope
of
you're
people
enjoying,
tuning in, too. We have one of our elected officials,
really?
Mr. Noskin.
Which one? Brian Livingston?
Yes.
So I do a shout out to Brian. Thanks for listening, Brian. Brian Livingston, City Council of Frisco. Thank you. I think he's up for re-election.
I'm glad that he's taking an interest
in our water, and that's good. So this segment was sponsored by Elevated Roofing. They're our premier sponsor. They've been with us since day one, and they are an amazing company. As I mentioned in previous shows, they do the full gamut when they take care of your house. From not only doing the roofing, the vents, the gutters, the fencing, but they then make sure they clean, they power wash, they fix your locks. You walk out of there with a brand new roof, brand new fence, right, honey?
That's correct.
The service is impeccable. The prices are very good. They have these shiny trucks.
And trucks all over town.
Yeah, they're all over town.
They are all over town.
And if you ever go to, and I don't want to name the restaurant, but there's a restaurant on the tollway near FC Dallas. And every Sunday, their whole team is there.
Oh, that's cool.
And what do they talk about? They talk about how they could be better.
Oh.
They have these meetings, service meetings. James Honeycutt and Kenny Gammons are there.
That's cool.
And they just are tremendous to work with if you ever need a roof.
I thought you were going to tell me they also talk about Common Ground.
They talk about the radio show all the time.
Yes.
And we just appreciate everything they've done for me. And I've seen so many. If you go on their website, elevatedroofing.com, they have so many five-star ratings with so many people. It's not just me. It's not just that they're a sponsor. They are a really good company. If you ever thought about replacing your roof, they come out free estimate. They'll take care of you, I promise you. And their number is 469-200-0582. That's 469-200-0582. Our premier sponsor. Thank you, Elevated Roofing. Our other sponsor, Porsche Plano. We're going to talk about them in 20 minutes. And now we are back. So I mentioned...
So can I just get back to my question?
You're going
to
take away from my Calgary question?
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm just curious about where we're getting the fluoride from and if it's tested every time for these carcinogens that are in there.
Well, I'm not an expert in this part. To tell you the truth, from where do we get the fluoride? I'm not involved in industry, but what I can tell you from the other side that it is safe. And what we are having in the products, in the water, and according to all the reports and whatever we're working with. But I'm not sure about from where we actually get it. As I know, according to NAS, it is safe and we can put it there and it doesn't produce toxicity. The toxicity level to produce symptoms is 20 to 80 particles per million for 10 to 20 years. Or 10 particles per million naturally occurring for 10 to 20 years.
I just want to say something. Sorry.
Yeah, we all want to talk.
We have a phone call from a Dr. Neil. I don't know if that's his last name, his first name. Sir, who's on the phone with us?
Yes. This is Dr. Neil Carman. I have an extensive background in chemistry, organic chemistry, and I have some questions for Dr. Mall.
I'm asking
if you are aware of the recent Canadian studies that have been published in the last year in the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives, looking at the mothers who both are exposed to fluoridated water and unfluoridated water, and the effects on their unborn children and the babies showing lowered IQs. This came out in October of 2018 in the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives. It was done by 8 scientists in Canada and the U.S. at major universities and medical schools and so forth. And it raises a whole concern that's been brought up initially in 2006 in the U.S. National Research Council's report that our babies, our children are being overdosed with fluoride and it's lowering IQ. And the studies in Canada, in the U.S., and Mexico and other countries are pretty much reflecting this loss of IQ and raised blood and urine levels in the mothers in terms of fluoride. And so there's some very good epidemiological studies that are actually that have been published And this goes along with what scientists like Dr. David Bellinger, who's a world-renowned neurologist, neuroscientist at Harvard Medical School, regards fluoride has a neurotoxin, which he published in December of 2018. And that goes along with Dr. Philippe Grandjean at the Harvard School of Public Health, also regarding
Dr. Neal, can I just ask you, real quick, are you wanting Dr. Amal to respond to this, the initial report that you had?
Can we let Dr. Amal respond to that? Was it the question about the IQ?
I'm curious about the IQ content also.
All right, let's let Dr. Amal answer the IQ portion of that question.
Yeah, the most important in any of the studies is to be peer-reviewed with scientific evidence, and not aware of the most recent IQ loss one.
Yes, I agree.
Look at that. They got common ground. They want real research.
Regina was quick for the bell. That was good.
I know. Yes. They both want legit, real research information. Don't just bring nonsense.
Uh-huh. And it's very important to have a valid evidence for what we're talking about. And it's not only one study that puts us on the road of evidence-based decisions to be taken. And there is no valid peer-reviewed scientific evidence of any link between this IQ loss and the other neurotoxic effects that we can see that has these evidence in many, many studies. I need to look at what you're talking about, published last year, to see the validity, the integrity of those studies.
Integrity,
yes.
Yeah.
And do the appropriate appraisal of those studies
right.
to decide whether it is really there.
It was Harvard University, yes. University of Toronto.
Well, the doctor mentioned, doctor, are you still with us? I think he's gone.
Yes, I'm here.
So the Dr. Amal responded to you. Do you have this... reports. Can you at least, we're on common ground. If you can send us those reports, I mean, I think it'd be hard to digest and come up with a response today, but the doctors,
especially with,
do you have any follow-up question to what the Dr. Amal said? And then we have to move on with the rest.
Yeah, I would just also add that I deal with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for over 40 years, and I'm very skeptical of the EPA's poor regulatory framework, that the standards such as for fluoride right now in the water, that's 0.7 parts per million, is a concentration standard. It is not a dose standard. And no medical doctor would prescribe a drug by saying, well, we'll just put it in the water supply and you can drink it according to how much water you drink. Well, that's a concentration, and you cannot control dose by putting something in the drinking water.
That's true.
That goes against all medical and pharmaceutical ethics.
So, Dr. Neal, can I ask you, when you say 40-plus years with the EPA, is that alongside? Do you work for them? Is it just something
I've interacted with them for decades, and I just know that the standards that the agency has tend to lag behind by years before they get around to finally adopting more protective standards. And this is the situation right now with fluoride, that the EPA has not done an updated risk assessment, and if they did, that they would probably have to set a standard at close to zero parts per million in the drinking water.
So then let me ask, I'd like to ask you and Regina something. So, okay, so let's say for kicks and grins, fluoride is the devil. What are we seeing from this? I mean, what's the consequences? I heard you mention thyroid issues.
Well, just think about it.
Soda is the devil, but
in the periodic table of elements, which you learn in chemistry 101, the most electronegative or highly reactive element is fluorine. And fluorine is the basis of the fluoride in the drinking water. It's extremely reactive. And from the standpoint of biochemistry, it's not something you want to put into living cells, into living tissues, because it's extremely reactive. And the science is really supporting that this is a harmful material, not just a neurotoxin, a developmental toxin. It's a very toxic material. You'll see that reflected.
And a lot of people can't avoid it.
But
you're talking about soda's bad. Lots of things are bad. But when they're putting it in the public water supply, let's get back to the babies.
I completely agree, by the way.
You were saying...
I'm curious also about showering and your breathing and the
well,
water.
Let's have a lot of stuff going out there. Let Dr. Amal respond.
Can I go back to when you talked to her about babies? Real quick. Mm-hmm. Her reply was, well, parents would have to talk to their doctor. Mm-hmm. No. What about the mom who can't go get bottled water and she's using tap water to reconstitute some powdered formula? Babies under 6 months, you would even agree. Any doctor would agree.
Again,
it's supposed
it's
to be
not
zero fluoride.
Be toxicity. Never. It's well, with the... areas in the world that has a high amount of fluoride in their natural water, there hasn't been any cause and effect studies that showed that there was a detrimental effect on these people living in those areas.
Oh, I think
it
you're
was
absolutely wrong. I could give you a
well,
bunch, and I hope
yes,
you will look at
yes,
them.
Please. Okay. Yes, please. Yes,
well,
please.
Let me just move
all
on.
I'm about science.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay. Dr. Neil, okay, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes,
I
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yes, thank you.
And now we're going to go back. They really want to talk about those cities. I really want to have an understanding why certain municipalities have decided that they don't want fluoride in their water. You know, Dr. Ma, why would these cities, if it's so beneficial for their citizens, say, hey, we don't want this in our water?
Again, it's based on these movements who come and ask to remove these waters. Mm-hmm. And why there are cities that go back again and implement. And yes.
There's not very many.
So, yeah.
There's not very many because
well,
Calvary,
will it happen?
Calvary took it out, mm-hmm. and then there was a falsified situation that said that the tooth decay rate went up,
uh-huh.
which was proved to be false.
Oh no!
Yes.
Somebody messed up.
How it was proved to be
because
not.
Because the data that was put into mm-hmm. the study
right.
was not complete.
Yeah,
it was
this,
proven.
This is
yeah.
we go back again to
okay.
common ground.
Okay.
It has to be research complete. And it
so
has
now
to be
O'Brien,
data.
Yes. Dr. Neil's talking about, or we were talking about mm-hmm. an old study. This is a brand new study in Canada.
Right.
So the city council mm-hmm. was told O'Brien, this study up there in Calgary, to do a study before they decided if they were going to spend $20 million or something to mm-hmm. implement
the fluoridation
again. This weekend, okay, they got the study from O'Brien, mm-hmm. which showed that the study shows that it could cause a drop in IQ mm-hmm. in the women that are drinking it while they're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and so they put the halt on it just 2 days ago. The city council said we're going to take this up in September because they needed to look at this study because they didn't want to put all that money
correct.
Into okay
yes,
so you know that, about this
so no no
oh, okay,
I'm,
okay.
correct the way they are approaching the matter. To
good.
Look at the study, to look
right.
at the validity of the study, the strength of
common
the
ground.
Study.
Yes,
okay. yes,
okay.
definitely.
Good. I like
and
that.
Then the decisions should be made. So my standing with the fluoride, it's all based on science, on research, and what I see with patients in the essence that when we have a patient on the dental chair with those initial decayed lesions, and I'm able to actually harden this enamel, and I'm able to remineralize
you
these lesions.
Topically?
Topically,
okay.
yes.
I agree with
and
that. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, definitely. And
that's
topically. And when we want strong teeth to erupt and come into the mouth, being strong enough, and actually, if there is a limit of one particle per million in the water, it will help the osteoclast to deposit bone and make our bone
mm-hmm.
stronger.
Bones
and everything has to be in control. This is where the science comes in, and they control whatever the people are drinking. And if we're not having this in our drinking water, we're actually denying and depriving the people from the benefits of fluoride. They are taking it in food, they are taking it in beverages, drinks, or whatever, but it's not enough to cause this shift and to cause the game to be in
All
a
right,
different...
Let's hear it, Regina.
Can
okay.
I just interject? So when we buy toothpaste, we are are making our own decision on whether or not we want fluoride
Good
or
point.
Not.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really have a choice.
With
it's
the water.
Almost unavoidable when it's in the water.
Especially
we're
in poverty
in it,
areas.
We're swimming yes. in it. Where, you know, you go to a restaurant, everything's being cooked with it.
Right.
I just feel like it takes out of the equation a choice as a parent, as a mother, as a holistic person. I understand the topical, the idea mm-hmm. of it, that the American Dental Association has deemed it to create calcification on your teeth. But mm-hmm. when we're ingesting it systemically, are we calcifying our bodies mm-hmm. in areas that are not beneficial?
Okay, I just want to let Regina respond to Dr. Amal. Go ahead, Regina.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the doctor wanted, like, I know
okay.
you're intelligent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's intelligent.
Go ahead and respond. Dr. Mal, respond to Miriam, please, and then I'll have Regina
okay.
respond
okay.
to Dr. Mal.
Not that Regina's not intelligent. I'm just saying she's coming from a doctorate background.
Okay, absolutely.
And so yeah. I'm curious.
We have a doctor in
the
house.
Go on.
Doctor in the house.
Go on,
doctor. I have this scam.
A specialized from neck up.
I just feel like you take out the choice out of the equation when it's being put in
right.
the water. And why is it necessary to put it in the water if we're using it topically?
Well, again, following, I'm a mother of mm-hmm. Three beautiful boys, and
That's
my
awesome.
Only hope
I
in life,
oh
yes,
okay.
only hope in life is to see them healthy, as
Man,
well as my
right.
family, as well as my community,
Good.
My country here in the United States. So definitely we're looking at whatever is beneficial. And the fluoride is considered to be a hot button issue that we always keep going back and forth on it. Mm-hmm. So based on science also, we found it economical. We found that people who have the amount of fluoride in the water were able to provide their saliva with the amount that is capable, which is traces in their saliva, the amount that is capable actually to do a prevention of decay. And when it is ingested while they are developing their teeth, it is the amount that will provide them with the resistant enamel, resistant teeth to further decay. And along the life, their potential to develop decay will be much less. And this is evident with the research.
So you're saying an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? Is that what you're saying? Because I did read.
But first, do no harm. That's
right,
another thing.
But it's,
the first,
yes.
do no harm.
Uh-huh. Right.
And this has potential of great harm. It does. And I know that a lot of times they say in poverty areas, because they don't have the access to fluoride, toothpaste and stuff like that. But the poverty areas have been getting this because they in these areas, but the tooth decay has not gone down in these poverty areas. It's still a very big problem of cavities in poverty
well,
areas.
Well, we do have the research that proves, mm-hmm. and it's in like the one of the articles here that I have with me from the Academy of Nutrition. It is in 2012, but there are more updated ones also, and they are actually declaring their position. It is the position of the Academy of Nutrition to support optimal systemic and topical fluoride as an important public health measure to promote oral health and overall health throughout life. And in this article, actually, they critically appraised with evidence, all the evidence in the literature, as well as Cochrane Library, people can find all those literature that supports the usage and find a very weak correlation between the cause and effect of having fluoride and thyroid problems, cause
oh,
and effect of having
no.
fluoride
let
and
Regina,
the IQ.
Let's respond
yes.
to
I would
that.
Disagree. There's
yeah, sure.
a lot of... And there's just anecdotal evidence. Look, okay, a long time ago in 1854, mm-hmm. they used fluoride to show how the goiters, how goiters happened, mm-hmm. and there is a big long thing about why fluoride and goiters and thyroid problem is a problem in the body. Okay, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it, your body gets confused.
I agree.
And you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Woo-hoo! I agree.
So
anything that so that was the limit right. Will cause
but
problems.
But it's hard, just like the doctor said. You're doing a concentration in the water, but you cannot figure how much the people are getting. And as a doctor, there is no medication that any doctor mm-hmm. would give to everybody, not checking back with what are the interreactions with other things they're doing or eating or whatever, mm-hmm. this body size, the health of the person to begin with, and their sensitivities. No, nothing would be given like that. Now, mm-hmm. we do want to get back to where it is a drug, because even in the city, in the Dallas, you know, the thing of dispensing it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called, it's in there for treating tooth decay.
Right.
So it's as a treatment. It is as a drug and as a treatment. And it's given to everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to the thing of dosing and following it up and interactions and stuff like that. You as a doctor, mm-hmm. you wouldn't do that with any other drug. Would you give even any drug to all of us without finding out?
No,
or weight.
Yeah, weight, size, a health, all that stuff. That's right, big
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
how, you know.
But it's all when they look and they put this amount of the
concentration
and the toxicity and whatever safety level. It's all taken into consideration
it's
with
taken
all
into
the
consideration
other factors.
With a certain amount of, it's supposed to be 8 glasses of water a day. Mm-hmm. That's what comes up to that.
Correct.
4
yeah.
parts per
yeah.
million, right? Mm-hmm. But not everybody drinks 8 glasses. I know
correct.
That my son who works outside, he might drink a gallon of water.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's not, you're not controlling that. Okay.
Yeah. So, as long as I feel like the Dental Association and your science department is open and will continue to examine these clinical
I like that.
Yes.
I,
right. love
it. I feel yes. better about it because I know, you know, mm-hmm. there was a time
right.
when we used
right.
mercury in the fillings mm-hmm. and we thought that was okay. But then we learned that it wasn't okay. And my doctor used to come into my examining room with a cigarette. And
uh-huh. right.
I mean, and, you know, we've learned and thank goodness
I
for
have
that.
A question
but
for
as long as that it's that
yes,
open
and
minded.
The EPA keeps revising mm-hmm. and keeps looking
we're
into
stop.
It.
Honestly, wait, okay. we used
you
to give our kids Steve,
I have a good one.
Fluoride water. We used
tablets.
To buy fluoride water in the grocery store.
I know.
Plus, we were given by our pediatrician
yep.
a liquid polyvifluor. We used to
oh,
hold,
yeah,
and it breaks my heart
yes.
to think about it now because I don't know if I overdosed them, but we used to have to hold them down and squeeze that brown liquid into their mouth, and it does.
Okay,
break
we're
going to
take
do,
a quick break just, right here because yeah. we only have about 12 minutes left in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say that this is very interesting. I think we might actually have to have a follow-up show on this. I think next time we come back and everybody
we
has,
always say that because yeah. we have good shows.
Yeah. But next time we'll have all that evidential
yeah.
support.
Yeah.
I want to debate that. But what I really like that I'm hearing is that both sides are open to look at more information, a lot mm-hmm. of common ground here. But at this point, let me just take a hard break. You guys relax for a second, and then we'll finish up the show. This segment was presented by Portia Plano. They're another big sponsor of ours from day one. Great people over there. Great cars. If you're looking for an automobile, a high-performance automobile that's reasonably priced, that's what I want to say. They are reasonably priced. If you see what you're getting for the money, the Porsche is a great option. I was with a friend of mine yesterday, and I have a Porsche, as people know. And he was driving with me, and he was like, wow, this car is amazing. And he asked me how much it was, and I told him, and he says, I thought it would be a lot more money than that. Now,
right.
they are pricey. Don't get me wrong. They're more than traditional cars. But when you're looking in that price range, the Porsche with the quality of what you get for the dollars is amazing. And the service at Porsche Plano, again, if you're looking for a Porsche, and I see a lot of Porsches in Frisco, that's
I
for
do
sure.
too.
Right?
It seems like they're. Kind
I think
of growing.
They're listening to our station.
Oh,
our
yeah,
show.
That's
I mean,
what it
show.
Is.
And the station, Mark, and they are going to Porsche Plano. So if you're looking for a Porsche, or you're considering an automobile in that range, performance and quality, then please go to Porsche Plano. See Jeff Udy's in service. The guy's amazing. Not that you'll have to bring your car there, but every time I, you know what I have, which is really cool. is I have a tire warranty. For some reason, Dr. Mahler, Regina, as my wife knows, I get more nails in my tires than I.
It's I mean, that's through two dozen.
That's because we live in Frisco.
Yeah, the roof. not the elevated roof.
They leave their went around our house with a magnet.
Yeah, they did. So yeah.
Really?
This, yeah, they did. They swept the entire premise.
That's so cool.
But this is not an elevated roofing.
Y'all, Porsches.
Yeah, Porsche. So it's amazing. So when I do bring my car in for the tire, boom, boom, I'm in and out. It's like, you know, a pit stop. You go in there, they take my car, place the tire. Jeff Udy's really good. And then, of course, Neil Conklin and Nikki Kurt right over there, very friendly. So please, if you're going to look for an automobile, please stop in a Porsche Plano on Plano Parkway in Plano. So we are back for our last 10 minutes. I really like the conversation. And Sherry is just fighting with a question.
I have my own question, but I am going to give it up so I can ask one of our viewers, Miss Patty's question.
Hey, Patty, will you shout out?
Is a loyal Common Ground.
And Patty, you can have a ride in my Porsche.
I was wondering if you saw that.
I do read these. Go ahead.
All right. So Patty wants to know more about the science of tooth decay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it so imperative that we, what are the numbers on tooth decay, especially, and it kind of does go with my question, like, where are we at and what we're trying to prevent? I mean, dentistry has advanced more from the 40s, you know, our education is more advanced, the foods we eat or we don't eat, and how we, oh my goodness, what about a mechanical toothbrush? I mean, I can buy one for $4 at Walmart now.
Yes.
And doctor, I know you as a dentist have seen a decline because of our mechanical toothbrushes being available. So anyway, I'll let you respond.
Actually, with all of this innovation in science and toothpaste, toothbrushes and the science behind it, scientists, we're still having tooth decay as number one epidemic in the world. And the control is there, but it's not there also yet. So we are dealing with a silent killer, and we can see a simple toothache, how it hinders the child from going to school, from comprehending an adult, from moving, from reaching out to whatever they want to do. So to control the disease, and all the epidemiologists, they know, everyone, they know, we have to control caries. We have to control the decay by studies. It shows that it's everywhere, even in the United States. It's still declining, but it's not there under control. The presence of fluoride, even traces, will change the game of demineralization, removing the minerals from the tooth and for the decay to happen. The existence of fluoride in particular and the saliva and then into the tooth structure will lead to change. The presence of fluoride into the tooth as a crystal making fluoroapatite is the most resistant form of crystals in the tooth that resist dissolution.
I hope there's no quiz.
I was going to say.
I feel like I'm in
class. That's
it. But I have a quick question.
Sure.
Just off topic of the fluoride. Mm-hmm. If a bone can heal itself when it breaks, is it possible when you have, if you have a cavity, for your body to heal? And are there other minerals that are healing or will help remineralize your teeth other than fluoride? Are there other ingredients?
Okay, let me answer a question too. Yeah. There are the calcium and phosphate, mainly to heal the tooth. But unfortunately, calcium and phosphate, they are unstable in any form into the saliva. And the fluoride helps as a cement to for these minerals to allow the remineralization, to allow the rediffusion of the minerals into the tooth. Answer to the first question, if we can actually use, why do we use the floor, other elements to, you know, make the tooth heal by itself? The body cannot let any of these minerals come out and just heal the teeth. So we need to add it. It's not there naturally at the optimal level that we need.
All right, I got to
I was going to say, Regina's twisting the
she's
working on
that pen.
She's working on that pen.
I start losing my first idea because I start coming up with more ideas. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead,
well, the thing of it is to go back to the thing of it being in the saliva, then it can still be gotten through a rinse or something else. You don't need to ingest it into your body. A smart guy said this, and I thought it was so good. If suntan lotion helps protect you from the sun, mm-hmm. okay, from getting sunburned, it doesn't mean drinking it will help you, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. So they had, in 1999, they said that it's very minimal actually ingesting it into your whole body, but topical. So again, gets into your saliva that way. Mm-hmm. In Scotland, mm-hmm. they do not fluoridate anywhere in Scotland, but they have the Child Smiles program. And when I talk to the city council, I say, you spend $1 million buying this product with all these problems, blah, 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 which right. brings it way more. Mm-hmm. Buy toothbrushes. Help put educate people on mm-hmm. brushing and toothpaste
and
flossing. You know, I said,
flossing.
You can hand them out at the fire departments or at the library. You don't even have, people could come pick them up mm-hmm. and it would really be helping, because you have to admit that all the swallowing and everything, if people do not clean their teeth, mm-hmm. it's hygiene and actually mm-hmm. Diet. Mm-hmm. People, long time ago, when they sugar. It's eating the sugar on the
right.
teeth.
Soda. Right.
It's gonna, it's acid and blah, blah,
so,
blah. Okay.
Decay yes. as mm-hmm. a disease, we uh-huh. call it a disease.
Right,
and
you do.
It doesn't happen because of one thing, like the bacteria or only the food. Or only lack of fluoride. It has to be many, many factors in there to have the decay happening. And lack of fluoride will definitely lead to decay to happen. If there is bacteria, because it's always going to be there in your mouth, food you're always going to eat, and time it's always given.
But xylitol and other natural things.
It's not as effective, and it's not going to change the game to remineralization. And for Scotland, how about their natural water? Is it fluoridated or not? Maybe they are not adding or they are not adjusting.
I'll get you
because
the amount for it.
Their water is already fluoridated. And
there's
actually, the one who responded to all the 50 reasons by the
Dr. Paul Connett.
Yes, he is an Irish guy
yep.
who actually was the fluoride pro person who responded back with the 48 pages to those... not right. I'm not going to say fake allegations, but it's not right. Yes, yes, against the fluoride.
Inaccurate. Yes.
No. Inaccurate.
No. No, and that's the thing. It's yeah. almost like it's like a conspiracy, like you say, the people that come and bring all this up.
Right.
But the ADA and all these people mm-hmm. that keep having their slogans and their endorsements, mm-hmm. that's what they're repeating all the time. Based on science. You
yes.
know what? 200 years ago, they believed that bloodletting mm-hmm. was the game, the name of the day, you know?
Right.
George Washington died because uh-huh. he lost 40% of his
blood. They didn't have science
that was
and
the
research at that
time. You see,
time.
Consensus.
Yeah.
No, there's always been science, and science evolves.
Mm-hmm.
So just because these ideas that were thought of back when in the 40s and 50s,
right.
there has not been enough research because there hasn't been that promotion because there's mm-hmm. too much money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much saying they were wrong about all this time. And I believe that 100%.
Yeah, but
you know?
Regina, doesn't
yes.
the ADA stand to benefit massively from taking fluoride out of... I mean,
no,
if they truly...
No.
If they
know?
Hold on, wait.
Okay.
If they truly believe in
yeah.
their science and what they're trying to convince mm-hmm. so many people that mm-hmm. this is warding off disease and caries... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it benefit them to say, hey, yeah, let's do that? And then all of a sudden, my dentistry premiums are going to probably not be like they are right now.
Number one, it's a trade organization. Okay. They don't do any research themselves. Dentists pay to be in the
well,
ADA.
Dentistry in
That's
general.
What it is.
Maybe the
no,
ADA
well, but,
is
yeah,
a bad
everybody
example.
No, it's the example that most people use that they stand up for it. But you know what? These teeth get so hard, they become brittle. Like the example of a wooden bowl is hard and a crystal bowl is hard.
No, 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 no.
If
no,
you
no.
drop them,
so
no,
well, hold on.
There is a lot of studies,
no,
and
no.
I'll give them to you
no.
about how yes, because
yeah.
teeth become brittle, and this fluorosis,
with the fluoroses
with the fluoroses
when it
which is created by fluoride ingestion.
Yeah, when it is the severe form of fluorosis, which happens only in 20% of cases.
It's
where there is an excessive ingestion of fluoride, which is not the case.
Which, because nothing's exactly being controlled.
Excessive.
The city puts too much in. People drink too much.
Well, there should be. Wait, one person. Okay, we're talking together. Actually, we need to stop.
So I just want to ask, will both of you come back again?
Sure.
Okay. Would you come back, Dr. Mo?
If I have time. I'm traveling,
but I would love to, definitely.
Because
I think we're just scratching the surface on this one. And I really like the dialogue that we have. And it's good and positive.
Common ground. I do too.
Of course.
So,
we only have 30 seconds, so I just want to thank our guest, Dr. Amal from Texas A&M, Regina Ambergia from Texas State.
Dallas. I have no credentials. I'm just a mom.
So next week, we might have a special date. People, pay attention to our website. We have a really good show next week. Thank you, Marianne, for being here. Sherry Salas, thank you for our audience, and thank you for our sponsors.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.